and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben, the birthday boy.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Right. Well, it's not quite your birthday, but it was yesterday as we record.
It was.
Did you have a good birthday to you?
I did, yes.
That's not quite the song, is it? But
not quite. No.
It's well known enough that I should know all the words.
I think it's copyrighted, so it's probably best not to sing the actual words.
Yeah, apparently it's very expensive as well.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've heard this thing once that if you hear the proper happy birthday song in a film, they've had to pay a lot of money for it, which is why a lot of films tend to use another song for happy birthday. It just means they don't have the budget. I get fed up with all the copyright nonsense. As long as you're not using it really to make a lot of money. Like on this podcast, we'd make no money out of this. If I wanted to sing happy birthday, I think I should be able to.
Well, let's not risk it, eh? Because it's not really worth the fine. But I mean, how much of it can you use? Like if you were shooting a film and you wanted that, could you say maybe the scene begins with the sort of words, to you? Could you get away with that? Or
No. You see, it's all a myth, this thing, that you can use a certain amount for free.
Is it? Are you
yes,
sure?
Yes, absolute myth that if you use any of it, you're supposed to pay for it.
I thought you were allowed a snapshot. I mean,
No. This is what people always. It's one of those myths that could get you into big trouble. I mean,
it's never stopped us before.
Well, no. I mean, we've broken lots of copyright rules on the podcast over the years, but I just think. Do you know what? Because I think we're not big enough to warrant this. We're not famous enough. But I just feel like unless our work was used in something that was worth millions and millions of pounds, I'd feel happy people using bits of it. Wouldn't worry me.
But does
me.
That mean, though, that if our podcast suddenly blew up and got really, super successful, like the Joe Rogan podcast, some people might then trawl through the back catalogues and then just hit us with all sorts of copyright claims and
it's
ruin us possible. Overnight.
It's quite possible, yeah. So you shouldn't be using that. I mean, even if I was to sing a little bit of a song, like Happy Birthday or any song, I think you have to be very careful of that, you know, that even just singing a bit of a song could land you in trouble.
I have heard of YouTubers who have not played the original song, but they, like you say, they simply sang their own version with no musical instruments, nothing. They just sang a well-known song, and their videos were demonetized, and they were hit with copyright strikes, and it's caused all manner of problems.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Everyone's out to get their money.
Oh, do you know what? Sometimes I think it's madness. I mean, it's a good job that I won't sing this, but I've woken up with one of those earworms today going around in my head.
Oh, really? You're going to inflict it on me now?
Well, I don't know why, though. Do you get an earworm? You think, why is that in my head? Where has that come from? But for the moment I woke up this morning, for some reason, ABBA's Thank You for the Music has been going round and round in my head.
We should explain. An earworm isn't a medical condition. It's basically...
I think it is. I feel I could do with some doctor's attention.
It's basically when you get a song stuck in your head and you can't shift it. I've heard, by the way, this. You might not want to do this, especially not on the podcast, for the reasons we've just been talking about. But I have heard the best way to get rid of an earworm is to listen to it in full.
Because the other thing about an earworm is it's only a little bit of it that tends to keep going. So it's like a record stuck in my head at the moment. All I'm getting is, I'm going to do it, and to hell with the lawyers. All I'm getting is, and I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. That's all I've got going round and round and round in my head at the moment. Now, why that song? I hate that song.
Have you heard it recently?
No.
Did something trigger a memory of that song?
I have no idea why it's going round in my head today. It's like some sort of torture. It's like at some point in the night, when the devil stole that hour from us, he also stole all musical taste from my brain.
For any American listeners, the clock's changed here in England and people are very unhappy about it.
I have several earworms. There's a few that I have that go round and round in my head.
Right.
And they tend to come about, I'd say, once a week, I get
okay.
them. And some of them are songs I like Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, that pops into my head. But that's all right, because I can sing that one. I know all the words. I can sing that one all the way through. And it kind of, as you say, I don't even have to hear it. I can sing that myself.
You like to sing that. You've liked to sing that song since I met you.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite songs of all time.
I think the main reason you like to do it is because you like to do the voice. And I'm a bit worried that in 2023...
You like to do the voice.
I'm a bit worried in 2023 that could get us cancelled.
I do like to do the voice. So anyway, Louis Armstrong, that's in my head. The hymn Jerusalem,
wow,
that pops up in my head quite a lot. Again, I know all the words to that, so I can get through that and sort of exercise that demon. Another hymn, I mean, it might be because I do a lot of work involving hymns in my job, right? So the Old Rugged Cross, that comes up.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I reckon I could do the Old Rugged Cross. That can't be copyrighted anymore.
Well, it depends, isn't it? Because a lot of people think that classical music can't be copyright, but it can be, because they think, oh, no, so much time has passed that it means it's out of copyright. But that's different, because if it was recorded recently, a different version of it, although it's classical music, it can still fall under copyright laws.
Only that recording.
Exactly.
Yeah, as long as you... So, I mean, it's fine if you were to do your own.
Ah, so could we sing Happy Birthday on this podcast and say, oh, no, I wasn't singing the version that was copyrighted. I was singing the old version.
Well, it depends, because it depends on how long has passed since the composer died.
Right. So what you're saying is, if you really want to sing someone's stuff, you've got to go and assassinate them first so that...
And then wait. I think it's... Yeah. I think at the moment, I think I'm right in saying it's 70 years after their death.
Right. So if I want to record a Lewis Capaldi cover,
yeah,
if I assassinate him and I don't get caught... Then when I'm 105, yeah. I just aged myself by 30 years there. When I'm 105, yeah, I can finally be the first to record Pointless by Lewis Capaldi, copyright free.
Copyright free, yeah, you'd be fine with that then. Although I know there are artists trying to increase the number of years. I think Cliff Richard is behind the campaign.
Especially why with him?
Well, I suppose it's to protect their future estate, I suppose.
Oh, because he's not got enough money.
Well, it's his future's... I don't know.
Is it slanderous or liable to call someone a greedy bastard?
Well,
or in my opinion, he's a greedy bastard. Can I get away with that?
Well, it's libelous. Yeah.
All right, then I won't say it. It's simple.
Well, I'm keeping it in.
No, I was asking you if it's libelous. I wasn't asserting it. I was questioning if I was to say that, would it be libelous?
Yes, I think it would be.
So I won't say it. Thank you.
So the Old Rugged Cross, that crops up in my mind. And the other one that crops up in my mind is, you know that song, You Must Remember This, A Kiss As Time Goes By?
Again, you are pulling out some very obscure tracks here. I don't really remember. Either you're doing a really shit job of singing that, or I've never heard it.
But I think part of the reason that goes in my head is because Jimmy Durante did a version of that, and Jimmy Durante's voice is very much... Or my version of Jimmy Durante's voice is very much like my Louis Armstrong. Because Jimmy Durante sang like this, you must remember this.
Right. Now, I've just done a quick Google, and the reason I don't know about that song is because Jimmy Durante died in 1980. So no wonder I haven't heard of that. I mean, I know you've got a decade on me, but I think even you're too young to know who Jimmy Durante is.
Now, obviously, I know a lot of old music, you see, Ben, because the years of doing hospital radio, and I prefer old music in many ways. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago we were talking about music and whether I could live without it, and I probably could, but I do tend to prefer older music. I mean, one of the other earworms I get a lot is Vera Lynn's We'll Meet Again.
Well, yes, but I mean, I must say, I did hospital radio with you. You were kind enough, that's how we met, for anyone who doesn't know. And you were very kind enough to train me up, and then it all spawned from there, and here we are today. But I also had to do my shift of going around the wards and asking for song requests. And I'm surprised that is the thing that you're claiming has given you all of this musical knowledge, because to me, everyone would either request Vera Lynn, We'll Meet Again, or Frank Sinatra, My Way.
Yeah.
And that was it. I didn't even need a pen and paper.
But bear in mind, before we met, I'd had 20 years of doing it under my belt. And over the years, you get to learn a lot of songs. And when you're compiling the programs, you have to come up with older music to play because that's your audience. So you get to know a lot of older songs. And some weird, like, older stuff as well that I really like. I mean, do you know the song Beyond the Sea?
I might if I heard it. I don't recognise it by the title.
Again, it's probably... I'm going to do it anyway, but it's probably... Somewhere... Beyond the Sea.
That does sound vaguely familiar. Right.
So, well-known song. But there's a French, the original version, I think, is called La Mer. And it's, I think his name is Charles Trenet. And I used to play that a lot, this old, very crackly recording. And I loved all that older stuff. Like,
and the beauty of that hospital radio show was we had more listeners than we did when we were a professional radio station.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Yeah,
a lot of them couldn't leave either. It was great.
So what do you get earworms?
Well, I do occasionally, but I end up just sort of listening to it in full and trying to shake it off that way. But I was going to offer you a bit of a risky game here.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know the idea or the concept, Better the Devil You Know?
Yes, by Kylie Minogue.
Was that a song itself, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a song. the world's worst DJ. Right, but as a concept, I can offer you a replacement earworm. But you might find it more annoying than your current earworm. So, Better the Devil You Know, or do you want to risk it by replacing it with my even more potentially annoying song?
Yeah, no, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's see what you've got to offer.
I would suggest my song is much more annoying than ABBA, Thank You for the Music.
Okay.
But if you are truly sick of that and just want a change of earworm, yeah, I can maybe help.
Go on.
I'm going to offer up The Cardigans' Love Fool.
Oh, what a song that is.
Love me, say that oh, you love me.
You didn't warn me you were going to sing it.
Fool me, fool me. Just have that going on in your head,
yeah,
over and over.
Oh, I haven't heard that song for a long time, and it is a cracking tune.
Oh, it's a banger. You don't want that in your head all day.
It's from that film, isn't it? It's from Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann film.
Is it?
Yes.
I've seen that film. I don't remember that.
I'm going to check that, but I'm pretty certain it was. A film that I
absolutely... Loveful was in Romeo and Juliet. I know the Baz Luhrmann version was a bit cool and whatnot, but surely not.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's from the film. I'm just looking it up now. Loveful by The Cardigans. The track was included in the Baz Luhrmann film Romeo and Juliet.
Well... Shut my mouth.
Yeah, it wasn't written for that, but it was just included in that film. But yeah, I mean, that's a film that I watched when it first came out and absolutely hated it. Just because I hated Shakespeare, I hated all that bollocks. I watched it again a couple of years ago. It's very good.
I was, I won't say forced because it was a school lesson, but yeah, I think for GCSE or something, I had to study Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. So obviously wasn't paying much attention if I missed The Cardigans in it.
No. I bet you didn't even watch it.
Oh, no, I did.
Because there was a film you were supposed to watch that you never watched, wasn't there? To Kill a Mockingbird. Did you never watch that?
No, I wasn't supposed to watch it.
Oh,
to Kill a Mockingbird, I was supposed to... That was for my English literature. And I was supposed to write coursework based on Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
I never bothered reading the book. And then I thought, well, the least I could do is rent the film and watch that. So at least I have a vague idea of what I'm lying about on my coursework. So I rented it on VHS. That's how old this is, you know, and how old I am now, feeling every one of my 35 years. About 20 years ago, rented To Kill a Mockingbird on VHS. Couldn't be bothered to read the book. Got the VHS caught in the recorder. Couldn't get it out. Never saw the film. Never read the book. Didn't get a very good grade in English literature.
Oh, no, it's not a surprise, is it?
No.
Tell me you've seen it since.
I have not seen it since. But you are talking to the man who once made up, forgot Spider-Man's name was Peter Parker and referred to him as Billy simply because I thought that was the noise his dying Uncle Ben made when he was being murdered in a scene. He sort of went, bruh! He wasn't calling him Billy. He was just letting out some sort of death rattle.
Right.
So I for an entire AS level exam, I referred to Spider-Man as Billy, based on nonsense. What the adjudicator made of that. I actually passed that exam, wow, believe it or not.
They must have also just felt sorry for you.
I'm also the same guy who was so lazy, I didn't do any of my science coursework, handed in my now wife's coursework from the year before, and couldn't even be bothered to change the fact that she'd written her name on top of it. So I got rumbled for that immediately. So it's not a great surprise that I can't remember much about Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, what else did you do? Apart from when you were supposed to be studying, or you were just playing computer games, weren't you?
Yeah, I just couldn't be bothered, mate.
Just couldn't be bothered.
No.
Had no interest whatsoever.
Bless you, my dad, I think I'm such a failure to my poor old dad. He was always trying to encourage me to be an academic, put in the hard graft, climb the ladder, be a proper person. I was like, nah.
Well, at least just do a little bit of work, son. That's what I'm asking.
He really
Pick up
tried.
The pen. At he least, or change the name at the top of the false homework you're handing in.
Bless him. I mean, I know he loves me, but I'm not sure how proud he is.
Now, Ben, have you seen that in just a few weeks' time, and I think we need to publicise this, because if you don't know about this, you might be in for a surprise and a shock, but they're going to test the first ever UK Armageddon alarm.
I did hear about this. Mrs. Ben kindly let me know about it, because it is exactly the sort of thing I would have missed and would have given me an absolute anxiety attack.
Yes, so it's going to be sent to all of our phones. So I think on April the 23rd, that's the day they're going to do it. Now, I don't know whether you need to have some sort of app for this, because I was talking to someone the other day who said they'd received a text that said, purporting to be from the government, to say that you needed to download some sort of app to receive emergency warnings. And the person I was talking to said, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to download some government app to my phone. And although it's on the verge of conspiracy theorists, I wouldn't either, because I don't trust the government. And so I don't know whether you need to have some sort of app. Everything I've read about this says you don't, but so assuming that it's just going to come to all phones, we're going to get this. It's a test, but it's going to be there to tell us whether there's going to be any kind of floods or anything dangerous. And I suppose in worst case scenario, sort of nuclear attack or Armageddon. I mean, did you see that? I mean, we've got that asteroid very close to Earth, haven't we, over this weekend.
Is this the one that's coming between the moon and the Earth?
Yes.
That's a bit scary.
It's not gonna hit the Earth. It's gonna be fine, and it's gonna go back into orbit and come back in about 2026, I think, but again not hit the Earth. But it's sort of one of the biggest asteroids that's been the closest to us for some time. They say the size of
sorry to interrupt. Did you say it's coming back in 2026?
2026, I believe it'll be back. Yeah.
So it's looping round pretty quick then.
Yeah, so it's going to go out into orbit and come back round. But it's not going to hit us. They think it's not going to hit us. It's fine. Mm. If it does hit us, it's going to be quite big.
Right.
I think I forget what they said. It would be sort of the size of several nuclear bombs going off. So it would be quite catastrophic for the area that it hit.
Right. Well, let's hope someone's keeping an eye on it.
The thing is, they say it's the size of Big Ben, this asteroid. The thing about that is, I don't know what they mean. Because Big Ben's the bell, right? So when they say, now, I know I'm getting pedantic, but I think you need to specify when you say Big Ben, do you mean like the tower and everything, or do you just mean the bell?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's the Queen Elizabeth Tower.
Yeah, I got caught out by that the other day, because somebody said, what's the, it was like a quiz thing, and somebody said, what's the real name for Big Ben? And I went, I think you'll find it's in Stephen's Tower.
Yeah, we used to be, yes.
And then they said, no, it isn't. And I thought, I beg your pardon. And yeah, you're right. It's now the Elizabeth Tower or something. Yes. They've renamed it.
Yeah, they changed its name to, I guess, I don't know, was it for the Jubilee when they kind of reopened Big Ben and all of that? Was it then?
I don't like having that smug look wiped off my face. But
yeah, I can imagine you as well. Oh, I know this. That's the one thing I did learn at school. So, you know, I'm assuming they mean the size of the tower, the bell tower and everything. But it's not going to hit us anyway. But if it was to be get near us, they're now setting up this sort of alarm system. But, of course, conspiracy theorists have got on to the back of it to say it's all about controlling us. And if you do use the app or something, because they're basically saying it's going to put software onto your system, spyware onto your phones or tablets.
Right, okay, I definitely wouldn't download that app. And what it sounds like to me is, and this always happens, someone has got wind that this announcement thing is going to be on everyone's phones. So some scammer has thought, I know what I'll do. I'll start sending spam out saying you need to download a specific app in order to get the right messages. And then he'll start fleecing you for all your private details and bank accounts and... Yes. By the way, I just wanted to ask you quickly about this idea that something the size of, let's assume when they say Big Ben, they mean the whole thing.
The whole
right?
thing, yeah, yeah.
Why should that cause multiple nuclear bomb style damage? Because once it's got through the Earth's atmosphere and it's hurtling towards Earth.
Yes.
It will reach what we call terminal velocity, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is a speed which is reached by something which can't go any faster. It's reached top speed, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, if we were to airlift Big Ben to the edge of Earth's atmosphere, the whole thing, the Elizabeth Tower, the whole lot, and drop it, it would reach terminal velocity, which I'm assuming this comet would also have done. It wouldn't be travelling faster. It'll hit terminal velocity. And I'm willing to bet if we drop Big Ben, the whole shebang, from... Yeah. The edge of the atmosphere onto the Earth, it would cause a hell of a dent, but it wouldn't cause multiple nuclear bomb damage.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose the asteroid would be rock hitting rock, would it? And just the heat that creates would cause that. So Big Ben, would it do? I don't know. Big Ben, if you chop it, it might do.
I doubt it very much. I think this is one time...
What do you say, doubt it, mate? I'm talking to a man who did nothing at school. And you're coming up with some sort of...
Well, I was going to say, this podcast used to have a physicist. Where is he when we need him?
I know, we should have got him on, shouldn't we? I mean, here's what I've read, okay? If the worst was to happen, it's estimated that the impact would be 214 times the atomic bomb dropped on Nagasaki.
Ooh, that sounds severe.
214 times.
Right.
I mean, the only difference would be if you were to drop Big Ben, at least you'd get a nice dong as it went off. A nice sound to that, wouldn't there?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You wouldn't get... Because that bell would almost serve as a warning, because as it's hurtling towards the Earth, that bell would be ringing, wouldn't it? As the air speeds through, and surely that would create enough... to get that bell ringing. So that would serve as a warning, but I don't think you'd be able to get far away quick enough.
What I need to do is tell people that if they want to find the results of my Big Ben hurtling towards the Earth experiment, they need to download an app. And I'll let them know when it's happening.
Do you think that, because, you know, like in films, they always have... you know, the television and radio stations all go to this emergency broadcast, and often it's sort of some sort of tone and then a voice saying, this is the emergency broadcast, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I know in other countries they have that, but I don't know if we have that here. We must have that here, just in case. I know in America they do, and other countries, because I remember nicking the recording of another country's thing once for something we did. And but I don't know whether we've got one. And who would be the voice on ours? Because you'd think, would they get someone... Like, now in this world of celebrity, you know, it wouldn't just be like some BBC voice. Like in the,
I thought it would be. I thought Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry.
Yeah, the voice of calm in a crisis.
I just think now they'd get someone like, I don't know, Joe Swash.
Oh, God.
Or who's that bloke from This Is It? Joey Essex. You know, get someone like that. Or Ant and Dec doing it in a kind of, you know, bantery way.
I think if... if, you know, you're getting the announcement that impending doom is on its way, I think getting Joe Swash or Joey Essex to voice it is just adding insult to injury, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just thinking who they'd get, like, who's the big celeb at the time, you know, whether they would keep updating it, because it was the younger generation, let's call them the younger generation, who just are so... sort of celebrity obsessed in the TikTok era, you know.
I should say, by the way, for the record, I don't dislike Joe Swash. I've got nothing against him. I find him a little bit irritating. That's not his fault. It's my fault. And I don't know really what he does now other than being married to Stacey Solomon.
I mean, I mentioned Joe Swash. I don't think he's really the voice now. You know, there was a stage where he was on absolutely everything. I turned it on. There was Joe Swash. But yes, now I don't know what he does. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really with it anymore in terms of who's kind of up there in terms of celebrity, you know.
Do you think maybe we could request to have a go at the emergency broadcast gig?
I don't think we're nowhere near known enough to be able to do it. I mean, we could ask.
I think it would end up in squabbling, to be honest. I think I would want the better lines. I'd want to say all the powerful disaster words, and you'd get jealous, and then we'd bicker, and it wouldn't end well, I don't think.
Well, perhaps it's best not to have a double act. Maybe that's why Ant and Dec wouldn't be the best option, although they'd probably have it well rehearsed. I'd like it to be delivered by a comedian, though. I think it'd be nice if there was some sort of comedic angle to that message.
Which one?
I don't know, like someone like Johnny Vegas.
I like that idea.
I wish I could do a Johnny Vegas impression. I can't, but that sort of huskiness he's got, that sort of really friendly St. Helens accent.
He does have a very distinctive voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he would deliver it in a really, he's got this warmth about him, and I think he would deliver it in a very warm and friendly way, but also get across the urgency needed about taking cover or whatever the message was. It depends on what's happening, I suppose. If it's a flood, it would be, you know, batten down the hatches or whatever it would be.
I think that's a nice idea. Like, it would be terrible breaking news, but it would be at least delivered by a sort of friendly, jocular voice that you wouldn't mind so much. You know, it's not so bad if it's coming from Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, you know, if you got that 3-minute warning and you got Johnny Vegas doing it, I think that'd be a good thing. Or you could have it delivered in song. You could get like Adele. I mean, you wouldn't want Adele speaking it with that sort of harsh Cockney voice she's got, but she could sing it.
Hang on a minute, don't be rude about Adele. She's lovely.
Oh, no, she's lovely, but when you hear her speaking, I'm Adele, with you? I'm fucking hell. Fucking hell, I'm Adele. And then she sings. You think, how's that voice come from that? It always amazes me that with Adele. She's got this most beautiful voice. And yeah, when she talks, she's like, it's like talking to a docker.
For anyone listening, please send all your abusive messages directly to Trev. I love Adele.
I'm just saying that I find it incredible that that singing voice emanates from the same body that that speaking voice does.
I mean, you could say, and again, now I feel like we're picking on them, you could say similar about Stacey Solomon.
Yes, exactly. I mean, does she sing, though?
Yeah, that's how she got does famous, she? Wasn't it? She appeared on. She appeared on The X Factor. And she got this
doesn't
amazing...
mean she's a singer.
Oh, no. She, believe me, she's got a lovely voice on her. But then, you know, they interviewed her after she sang. She's like, my name's Stacey Solomon. And it's like, what? That doesn't fit what was happening a minute ago.
I know, you know, it's like with Adele.
I'm going to get in trouble now because she's got a legion of fans. Yeah. She's a social media influencer queen. So back to the emergency broadcast.
So yeah, we can have it done in song.
But why are we doing this? We're two nobodies with a failed radio career. Well, I mean, why do we get off picking on people with legions of fans and very popular and successful, and we feel like we can bring them down a peg or two?
Not bringing them down. I think it's a very... we're holding them up as people that we like and have nothing against. It's just using them as examples for humorous effect. Whereas if they were doing something, they go, those fucking idiots.
So I needed to check with you about this.
A tiny, insignificant podcast.
I wanted to check about this emergency broadcast.
Yes.
If it wasn't for Mrs. Ben telling me that this was happening, I'd have been completely and utterly oblivious to this.
Yeah.
So is there some sort of moral responsibility on who, let's blanket call it the government, who are going to, I assume, do this, trigger this thing?
Yeah.
Is there any responsibility on them that they need to make it absolutely crystal clear that the following is a test? Let everyone know it's going to happen. Because if I got a test broadcast emergency message saying incoming nuclear bomb, I might go out looting, or some old deer might get it and keel over. Are they going to be responsible if there's sort of medical emergencies caused because of this sudden, you know, alert that everyone's going to suddenly get if they haven't made it clear enough that it's going to happen?
Well, I'm assuming it would say this is a test. They must have to do that, mustn't they? Must make it clear that it's a test. And do you remember a few years ago it happened in, was it in Hawaii? Where
yes,
the residents of Hawaii got some alert on their television or radios, wherever it was, to say that there was sort of an incoming missile or something.
Now, that did happen, and I think it did cause minor chaos and panic. But I don't know, I'm assuming you're right. It won't be a test as if like it's going to be a mock message. It will just say, this is a test. That'll be what the message is. This is a test.
Yeah.
I hope. But what do you think you would do in the situation of getting a genuine text from the government that you assume is real on your phone saying the Russians have launched a missile attack or something? I'm just picking the Russians because at random, let's say. Sweaty over here. But what would you do if they said you've got 2 minutes warning?
I don't know what I'd do. I mean, the panic would set in so quickly. The first few seconds, you'd be running around like a headless chicken, wouldn't you? You wouldn't know what to do. You know, like if you get up late and there's that moment where you don't really know what to do. You run around, sort of, you just don't know what the best thing to do is for a few seconds.
Yeah.
It would be like that because you think, now, do I phone up my loved ones now? Do I think about taking cover? I mean, you know, 2 minutes.
Phones won't work. Everyone is going to be reaching for their mobile phone at that point. Forget getting through to anybody.
So there's not much you can do. If you've only got 2 minutes or, you know, 3 minute warning, it's not long enough to do anything. I'd probably, like, you'd make some sort of rudimentary shelter in your home, wouldn't you? Go under the table, you'd barricade yourself in, which, knowing that it's completely pointless exercise because if the missile hits, you're done for. But I think you would try. The survival instinct would kick in.
I know under door frames is supposed to be good advice for earthquakes, but I think a bomb is slightly more devastating than an earthquake.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, the blast from a bomb is going to blow out door frames, isn't it? I think you've got to make... I'm sure that old, you know, that old protect and survive leaflet from the 80s and 70s where it would tell you how to get ready for a nuclear attack. I think it would say about... I mean, you wouldn't have time to do this in 3 minutes, but to take doors off the hinges and lean them up against the wall and create some sort of shelter that way.
Got the 3 minute warning. Where's the screwdriver, love?
I know, yeah. And I don't know about you, but I can never find the right fucking screwdriver. You know, I'd get a Phillips one and I'd need a straight head one. It would be an absolute disaster. I think, I don't know, a bit of me would just think, well, should I just run out in the street, like, naked?
Why?
To know, just out of sheer panic, be a distraction for everyone. Take their mind off the impending. Although that shouldn't be people's last vision. That'd be really unfair.
But the thing is, if you got that text, you would have to deal in the back of your mind the percentage chance that it was a hoax. And if you're running down your road stark bollock naked, and then nothing happens, then you've got to live with that, haven't you?
Yeah, my neighbours have got to live with it. I wouldn't run out naked. I mean, that would be a daft thing to do. I don't know. There's a bit of me that thinks my garden shed might be a good place to go.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, that's a great idea, mate. Leave the stone brick house and go to the flimsy wooden shed.
No, it's not wooden, but I've got bomb-proof. I don't know what it's made of, stone, brick. It's a sturdy old shed I've got.
Got much sturdier than a house.
I've got some sturdy sort of workbenches I could get underneath. And it's got asbestos roofing, the shed.
So when that gets hit by a bomb, you can maybe die of cancer if the bomb doesn't get hit.
No, what I'm saying is that that would absorb a lot of the heat, wouldn't it? It would actually be very good for absorbing the heat.
Yeah, it's possibly. I'm not sure asbestos is like... a bomb shelter, but you could give it a try, mate. It's your last 3 minutes. I'll be doing something else.
Well, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know. I don't think 3 minutes gives you enough time, but the temptation to go on a mini rampage would be kind of...
3 minutes?
Hard to resist. Yeah, I mean, you think, right, where's the nearest person within a minute and a half radius of me who's recently wronged me that I can punch in the nose?
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's face it. All right, depending on where you are, but let's assume you're at home, it's going to be a next-door neighbour. Now, how often does your neighbour annoy you?
Oh, my neighbours are lovely. I think I annoy them more than they annoy me. But
no, so they're going to come for you first.
So hang on a minute, I've got to spend my last 3 minutes
defending
blocking
yourself because your neighbours decided to go on the rampage. Who's the nearest person who's really pissed me off recently? I was next door. He's coming at you with a fucking hammer. And you're going to have to defend yourself. You know, Mrs. Ben, she's building some sort of rudimentary shelter and going, Ben, will you just concentrate on surviving the nuclear blast? She says, I'm sorry, love. I've got to defend myself against the neighbour who's come to seek his final revenge.
It could happen.
I've been talking of things falling from the sky.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see recently residents of a town in China had to seek shelter after worms started raining from the sky?
Right. Okay.
We're talking like thousands.
This sounds almost like some sort of biblical plague.
There are people who said they weren't worms. They were blooms of a tulip tree. But a lot of people are convinced they were worms. It's hard to tell from the photograph I've got in front of me. It's not easy to tell whether they were. They look like worms.
Okay.
But they may not be. But it just got me thinking about, like, there are times when things have genuinely fallen from the sky, haven't they? Like weird things that have rained down.
Some of them do have explanations, but some of them are just really strange.
Like fish. That's quite a frequent one, isn't it? You know, you hear of it raining fish.
And is the explanation for that, like, extreme wind sort of picks them up?
Yeah, I mean, generally the idea is that this kind of stormy weather out at sea creates a water spout. And that can suck fish from the sea, and then as the storm moves across it, will then deposit them on the land, which is perfect science. Same as frogs, that could happen with frogs. Because again, that's another one you hear. It's been raining frogs.
That'd be a hell of a way to die, wouldn't it? If you were walking down the street, minding your own business, and you get hit on the head by a carp.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a little fish hitting you on the head, that'll be fine. But if it sucks up a big fish, and that's falling from the sky. Again, we talked about terminal velocity earlier.
It's all linked. People think we don't plan this podcast. It's a theme through the whole thing.
A 6-pound bass falling from a great height, that might cause you quite a lot of damage. I mean, fish can cause a lot of damage because of their muscular physique and size. I mean, you hear a lot of things about people being injured by fish and killed by fish. I mean, if you ever watch River Monsters, I mean, that's an extraordinary program where Jeremy Wade, the guy, goes on the look for fish that have killed people.
What do you mean? Like, specifically, you know, find the culprit?
Well, not the
how would he possibly know?
But the species that had
that
carried out
sense.
The attack. Because there are fish that will grab you if you're in the water and pull you under. There are fish that will jump out of the water. And they're like they are, because they're so streamlined and because they're huge, they are like a missile. And they can kill you if they hit you in the head.
I'm not a big believer in, the afterlife or gods or things like that. But I think if there is someone up there who's thought, right, really wanted to get that harmer fucker.
Yeah.
But he's not going in the sea.
Let's launch a massive tuna at him.
I know what I'll do. I'll start lobbing the fish at him. That just doesn't seem like a fair playing field. That's all I'm saying.
So I tell you, this would be dangerous. In Florida, it once rained golf balls.
How?
Again, most experts say that a water spout scooped up golf balls that had been hit into the water by bad golfers.
Oh, right. I imagined some sort of golf shop that had been exclusively targeted by a tornado.
Money. Now, this is something that's the only thing I would be happy about. If it was the only thing is, if it started raining money, would you be guilt-free picking it up and taking it?
Well, first of all, let's just address something. You said you'd be happy if it was raining money on you.
Yeah.
If it's raining £5 notes on me, great. £10 yeah. notes, even better. £1 coins, that's going to sting.
I think pound coins and £2 coins, it's the 50p's and the 20p's, the jagged edged ones. I mean, a 50p, that would embed itself right into your head, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't. I mean, yes, I see your point, but I still wouldn't like to be hit on the head with any kind of coin,
yeah,
regardless yeah. of shape.
Because they say, again, it's that terminal velocity thing, but there's that... I remember as a kid, this thing about if you dropped... I think in those days, Ben, because I'm old enough to just about remember them, a halfpenny, the halfpenny piece.
You are not old enough to remember a halfpenny.
Yeah,
did you call it? Do you even call it a halfpenny?
No, it was just a halfpenny. A halfpenny. I mean, people in my family.
You are not old enough for that. You are not old enough.
Yeah,
for that.
No, I remember the old halfpenny, Ben. Right?
Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, I remember that. The old fruity bit and all that. No, I don't remember the fruity bit. Although I did used to collect them. But no, the old halfpenny. And I remember being told at a very young age, if you dropped a halfpenny coin from the top of the Eiffel Tower...
It's a myth.
It would kill someone.
It's a myth. Them.
Is it a myth?
Maybe I'm confusing my myths. I think there's a myth that if you drop a quarter from the top of the Empire State Building, it'll indent itself an inch into the pavement, which I think is untrue.
Right.
But I think I recently heard... Well, I'll tell you what. You keep talking. I'll find out if it's true. Because I think our old friend Terminal Velocity is coming up again. And I don't think it will.
I mean, we keep mentioning Terminal Velocity in this podcast. If we really know what it means.
I do know what it means.
It's a scientific phrase we keep using. It's like if we just kept saying the Big Bang as if we really understood it.
Basically, my knowledge of Terminal Velocity, and I'll try and... And I'm, believe it or not a physicist... My understanding is, if you were to fall from 1,000 feet
yeah.
versus 100 feet, or no, I'll tell you what, scratch that. If you were to fall from 5,000 feet versus 1,000 feet, so long as once you've reached terminal velocity, the force you would hit the ground at would be basically the same, whether it was 5,000 or 1,000 feet. Don't assume that because you started at 5,000, you'll be going faster by the time you hit the ground than at 1,000, because you reach something called terminal velocity, which is a speed that can't be enhanced.
Hence it being called terminal.
Exactly. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, thanks, Mr. Harmer. It's been great to have this lesson with you. So, by the way, the halfpenny stopped being legal tender in 1984.
Is that what you were looking up while I was desperately trying to explain the concept
of
terminal?
Oh, God, I heard you going on and on. There's false starts. But no,
while you were explaining that, the short answer says, physicist John Butterworth of University College London says no. It couldn't even break the flesh, except in certain circumstances, if a penny was to come from the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Right. So, I mean, therefore, would it be that bad if it was raining coins then?
You know, this is well, that's another question.
Yeah, if it's all right to drop a coin for the top of the Eiffel Tower, that's a long drop. If coins were raining down, the trouble is it would be the amount of coins, the number of coins hitting you would probably cause you some pain. But I think it was notes that were raining down. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of United Arab Emirates dirham currency showered down on Kuwait City in 2015.
And your question was, would I feel morally shaky about...
picking it up?
No, I wouldn't.
No?
Who would? I mean, what? Who do I return it to? What, the police station?
Yeah. You take it right. back. So this has obviously come from somewhere. It's not mine. Just because it rained down doesn't mean it's free for whoever wants it, does it? Someone's lost it.
So you're worrying about being done for theft by finding. Is that right?
Yeah.
I had an issue the other day where I found someone's bank card in the middle of a Sainsbury's car park. And I thought, you know what? If that was my bank card, I hope someone would pick it up.
Yeah.
And return it. And the moment I picked it up, I became instantly terrified. that the owner of it would see it in my hand and just assume the worst. Assume that I pickpocketed them, I thieved it, I was nicking it.
Yeah.
And if I then say, oh no, I just found it on the floor, I was going to return it to say, that they'll just think, oh, he's clearly a liar. I caught the thief. And then I'll go to prison for theft by finding. And then I'll be in all sorts of bother. So maybe I should leave it on the ground.
No, you should always pick up, shouldn't you?
Well, I did, as it happens.
And then hand it in.
You know what? I'm not throwing too much judgment at the lovely staff of Sainsbury's, but I felt that her response was underwhelming.
Really?
I was expecting a little bit more gratitude, but
oh,
there we go.
The final thing I'm going to tell you, that it rained once. Spiders.
No, fuck
yeah,
that.
In 2015, it happened in Australia. In Brazil, in 2019, it started raining spiders.
Do you know how? Or
yeah,
why?
I mean, it's a weird thing, because it's not actually raining them, but the spiders do this thing called ballooning, where they produce filaments to launch themselves into the air, and they then try and catch an air current to travel to a new location. But of course, sometimes they lose the air current and they fall out of the sky. So it does appear to be raining spiders.
I mean, we haven't got a chance, do we? It's another reason not to go to Australia.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. What you got?
Well, as lovely as the place I went to stay at for my birthday was, the one downside of it is the Wi-Fi is terrible. So we took along a load of our old DVD collection.
Nice.
And this isn't a very topical reference or recommendation, but when the missus learned that I had never seen the film Paul with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Yeah.
She absolutely insisted I watched it. And the reason I think I'd always put it off was because I'd thought it might have been a little bit kiddie. But it turns out it's not.
No.
It's really quite good. I don't think it's as good as, say, Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, in my humble opinion. But it's definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, it's a very good film. It's the one with the alien landing, right? That's the one.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's a good film. I do heartily recommend that. I've got a film to recommend. It's only on Netflix for a couple more weeks, only till the 14th of April. It's called The Giver, and it's based in a future society where there's no hardship, there's no free choice, but one person is given the insight into the world of the past, where people did have free choice and free will and feelings, and he discovers a powerful truth and becomes determined to expose it.
That sounds really quite cool.
I really enjoyed it. I get a bit bored of kind of dystopian films. I sort of feel, oh, we've kind of been there, done it. But this one was a bit different, and I really enjoyed it. So that's on Netflix. And the other thing I'm going to recommend on Netflix is a three-part documentary called Waco American Apocalypse. That's 30 years since the Waco siege occurred.
I must be honest, I've heard of it, but I'm not very aware of what it is.
So there was a religious group called the Davidians that was led by this guy called David Koresh, and they were all in this sort of big old property, and the American government, or the local police, whatever they were, wanted to raid them because they alleged they were stockpiling ammunition and weaponry, which
I am familiar with this now, yes.
And then, of course, there was then the 51-day siege, which ended in disaster. And it's just
End with a fire?
Yes.
Is that right? Yes, I am aware of this.
Ended with the fire. And this is just some interviews with some survivors of it, some of the police and negotiators. A lot of it I'd heard before, but it's just so shocking. Even though, because I remember it, it's 30 years ago, but I remember it so clearly, and it's such a shocking thing. But it's a fascinating three-part documentary.
But it was like a cult, wasn't it? David Koresh was a cult leader.
Yes, yeah, the Davidians, and he claimed to be the second coming,
right?
And the people in there were very loyal to him, and therefore were very happy to. It's sort of, anyway.
Yikes.
It's an extraordinary story, but well worth a watch. That's on Netflix. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.